Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's been 20 years. Iconic guests.
My guest is Danica Patrick.
I mean, you've been doing this for 17 years. You might be the OG of podcasts.
We all know this gentleman. Let's give David Stern a big round of applause. In 2004, we launched Sports Business Radio, and David was kind enough to be my first guest. He was just joking in the green room that he launched my career. So.
He hasn't let me go since. It's really impossible.
My guest is Emmett Smith. I think being authentic, being who you are, and being unapologetic about it, and being open to receive knowledge in areas that you may be unaware of, that's okay too.
My guest is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
International growth is something that I'm always thinking a lot about, and both for the NBA and for the game. And it's a recognition that nothing is preordained.
My guest is Bob Costas.
You know, Brian, as you said, I've been so lucky and did so many things that I could never even have dreamed of doing. All I really want to do now is return to the things that are most truthful to me as a person and a professional.
The biggest names in sports.
My guest is Maria Sharapova.
I wanted to be in those rooms and I wanted to be in those meetings because there was something inside of me that said that although tennis was a big part of my life, it wasn't going to be my life in capital letters. And I had to become savvy and smart. A big part of sport is business.
Our guest this week, Sue Bird.
Who told you I'm a bowler? That's hilarious.
I read that you're like a good bowler and you break 200 when you bowl. Is that not true? Is that false media report?
No. That's all fact.
Welcome to year 20 of Sports Business Radio. Now, here's your host, Brian Berger.
Well, thanks for joining us on this edition of Sports Business Radio. We're going to recap the NFL draft for you. Lots of numbers coming out of the draft, from viewership to how much the rookies are going to make. Also, on this week's edition of Sports Business Radio, Charles Olchek. He is the president of MLS Next Pro. He's going to join us in the next segment to discuss the growth of MLS Next Pro, as well as the growth of soccer in the United States. MLS Next Pro is doing some innovative things with rules, playoff format, and then obviously they're helping the growth of soccer in the United States. I think you'll enjoy the conversation with Charles Olchek on our show this week. I'm joined by executive producer Brian Griggs. Griggs, how are you?
Doing great, and a lot of fun viewership this week with the draft and the playoffs and NHL, NBA, so no shortage of content, that's for sure.
Yeah, let's dig in to the NFL draft in this segment. Gosh, first of all, a record for people showing up for the draft. This was in Detroit, downtown Detroit. 775,000 people showed up for the draft over 3 days. That breaks the record set by Nashville a few years ago of 600,000. So they shattered the record. On TV, round one, 12.1 million. To put that in perspective, the NBA playoff games recently, the best ones, are drawing close to 6 million viewers. So you're doubling NBA playoff viewership for the NFL draft. I mean, Griggs, I'm old enough to remember when the draft was barely on TV. When it was on TV, it wasn't anything like it was now. There certainly wasn't a crowd of 775,000 in attendance. It was done in some auditorium and you had the football helmet and you turned in your card and that was about it. Now it is such a to-do and it's really one of the engines for, you know, this deal that ESPN and ABC has with the NFL. Roger Goodell, the commissioner, was on with Pat McAfee. It was really interesting how they covered it from a number of different angles. I have to say, it has arrived. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick are TV stars. I mean, these guys are next level with their analysis, and they're funny. And you can already tell they're like the alphas on the set, right? This is like you're a rookie on TV, essentially. This is year one of you doing this basically full time. Both of these guys are unbelievable on TV with the insight that they offer. So I have to say, out of all the things with watching the draft on TV, I thought there were some good storylines and, you know, here's this person's family and some funny interviews in the green room. Bill Belichick and Nick Saban killed it with this draft.
They did. And they're just, it's fun because it's just them. They are totally being themselves and it shows through. And that's the brilliance in it, is because they're just, they're two brilliant guys that love the game. They know the game. They know the players. They've got the stories. They've got, they know families. They know behind the scenes. And it's just like, sit back, you know, get a drink and just watch the show. And I think that's what makes the draft so fun too, is it's not just a one night, 2 hour show. It's a couple days. I mean, you get this content going constantly and it's fun. One thing I like they do too is the guest pickers that come out and announce it. That's kind of fun, mix it up so it's not Goodell every time. You know, it looks great on TV. And I kept thinking of when they did those drone flyovers over the crowd. It's like the shots of Woodstock you used to see where it's just fields of people. That's just great.
A more modern day reference would be Coachella, Griggs.
Well, yeah, no, I'm going way back.
You are going way back. Wow, you're dating yourself. Woodstock. Were you at Woodstock?
I was not at Woodstock.
You weren't there participating in the fun?
No.
Okay. All right. So some other numbers around NFL draft. These are four-year deals these rookies get. And again, if you're building an NFL team and you can get a difference maker, primarily a quarterback, take advantage of their rookie contract, because you're making pennies compared to what you'll make on that second contract. So Chicago takes Caleb Williams, number one. No surprise. $38.5 million over 4 years Caleb Williams will make. Washington takes Jaden Daniels. $36.8 million he'll make. Drake May goes to New England. $35.7 million. Marvin Harrison, I think the safest bet in this draft, goes to Arizona. $34.5 million. The Chargers took Joe Alt at number five, $32.4 million he'll make. Malik Nabers goes to the Giants at six, $28.5 million he'll make. Tennessee takes J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle, $25.5 million. And then at eight, this was the surprise of the draft, is Michael Penix Jr., really good quarterback, runner-up in the Heisman, but no one thought he would go to Atlanta at number eight. A, because you didn't think he'd go that high, but B, because the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins in the offseason and are paying him over $100 million. Now, instead of giving Kirk Cousins a weapon, you're basically saying, we just drafted your successor. You can't play two quarterbacks at the same time. Last I checked, I guess you could, but it doesn't really, that'd be a weird offense. Even though when Michael Lombardi was on with us last year, he thinks that's coming eventually. But these aren't the two quarterbacks that you would pair together. So it was just really bizarre that Michael Penix is going that high. So now you're paying basically $123 million to your two quarterbacks if you're the Falcons, and only one of them can play. So that was bizarre. Roma Dunze goes to Chicago at nine. I mean, if you look at Chicago, they get Caleb at one. They get Roma Dunze at nine. These are two difference makers on your team. They have great personalities. They had so much fun at the draft. Heck, even before the draft, they were on the same flight and they took pictures when they landed. And like, they're best friends, even though they went to USC and Washington. Now they're on the Bears. And you can just tell the energy they're going to bring to that organization and the enthusiasm. JJ McCarthy goes 10. To the Vikings, he'll make $21.3 million. So that's the top 10 and how much they will make in the draft. And again, you know, like if you look at the Seahawks, Griggs, when they had Russell Wilson on the rookie contract, so to speak, they were able to go out and sign other players, beef up that defense, go get some skilled players. When you have your quarterback on the rookie contract, that's the window to beef up the other areas. Because now when the second contract comes along, you're going to have to pay that quarterback. The other thing that was record setting about this draft is six of the first 12 picks in the first round were quarterbacks. So we've never seen a run on quarterbacks in the NFL draft like we did in this first round.
Yeah, I think quarterbacks definitely took the show, and you know, with good reason. I mean, we've talked about this before many times, how vital the offense of an NFL team is on the quarterback. I mean, it's the position you have to have that runs the show. So you see why those quarterbacks draft high, because it is kind of what you build your show around, your offense around. So not surprising. And I like your point about the contracts too. And we've just seen it with Justin Herbert, who just signed the big one, and Purdy's coming up and all these guys. So yeah, you're right. That window is small when you've got the money to build the team around these future quarterbacks. So it'll be interesting to see. But Bears are, I mean, you got to think they're must watch. If you get Caleb and Azuna out there, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, and they already have DJ Moore. I mean, that's one of the great heists in NFL history, the Bears-Panthers trade. So the Panthers traded up to one in 2023 to take Bryce Young. And then the Bears get this haul of players, and one of the players turns into the number one pick, which the Bears used on Caleb Williams. So lots of enthusiasm in Chicago. The other thing that happened with this draft is Lincoln Riley, the head coach of USC, who is formerly at Oklahoma. He becomes the first head coach to have three players pick number one. Now, quarterbacks. So Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma, 2018. Kyler Murray, Oklahoma, 2019. And now Caleb Williams, USC, 2024. Pretty good to have three quarterbacks taken number one from the same coach. So if I'm Lincoln Riley and I'm recruiting you as a quarterback and I walk into your living room and I can say, hey, look, I'm the only guy ever that has had three quarterbacks go number one in the NFL draft, that's probably going to gain some traction with the kid you're recruiting with their parents, Griggs.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice thing to throw on the coffee table. Hey, look what I've done with quarterbacks. I think I've done pretty well. So I agree. He's clearly a good quarterback coach and knows how to run offenses. We've seen it over the years with his coaching, his coaching past. So yeah, quarterbacks, man, they're just fun. I mean, it makes the NFL fun. You've got some great talent coming up. Caleb Williams, I mean, these guys can just run all over the field. They can throw, they can get out of tackles. It's a fun era for the NFL.
Absolutely. All right, next year's draft is going to be at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. So, you know, again, the NFL has done a great job of, it used to be the NFL draft was in New York every year. Now they're taking it to Dallas, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Nashville, and next year it's going to be in Green Bay. And you know the fans in Green Bay are going to be wearing the cheese heads and, you know, it is going to be a to-do, but you know, we've got to give a shout out to our friend Peter O'Reilly, who joins us every year right before Super Bowl. He doesn't just plan Super Bowl. He plans NFL draft. He plans the international games. So, you know, Brazil is going to be a new destination for the NFL this upcoming season. So Peter O'Reilly is the best of the best when it comes to planning large scale events. And he showed it once again. And you know, again, you look at what the NFL has grown this thing to, because even in New York, you know, you'd have some fans there at Radio City Music Hall, but it wasn't 775,000 of them. I mean, I've been in Radio City Music Hall and it's a few thousand. When you're opening up your draft to 775,000 people, it really energizes the city. And you look at a city like Detroit, which, you know, a lot of people don't think super highly of, and it was a great opportunity for them to showcase their city, what they're about. You know, Eminem was front and center. I loved how in the first round, you know, they brought out some of the great Detroit Lion players, current and former. You had Barry Sanders out there. You had Calvin Johnson, Megatron out there, Jared Goff, Aiden Hutchinson. It was really cool to see Detroit get some time in the spotlight. And you know, Detroit has a good team again now, and they had an exciting draft. So it's really fun what the NFL has done with the draft. I would say, you know, like many things, the NFL does the draft better than any other league.
Well, I think they're so masterful at building around the city, building around the event. You've got the marketing, like you said, Eminem, and they bring the city out that kind of encapsulates it. So it's just, they do such a good job of it. And it's fun to watch it. And how, you know, you're talking about Detroit. I mean, they just re-upped Penei Sewell, go Ducks, to the biggest paid, highest paid linemen. So, I mean, good timing for Detroit to do that signature too, the week of the draft too, because they're so front and center. So I love how they're traveling. Like you said, with the show, it goes to a different city every year. That's fun too. You get more crowd bases around the country involved. So yeah, Lambeau Field's going to be great.
So again, this was a big hit on TV as well. 12.1 million viewers for round one. That's more than all of the 2023 World Series games, all of the 2023 Stanley Cup Finals games, four out of five of the 2023 NBA Finals games, and every 2023 college football regular season game but one. So this is the draft. I mean, it's almost like, put my voice, this is my Allen Iverson voice, practice. We talking about practice? My thing is the draft. We talking about the draft? The draft is killing it with ratings. It's must-see TV. The other thing that's happened is, you know, by the time Caleb Williams goes to get drafted, he's a household name. He's got name, image, and likeness deals. He's played at USC. He's been on TV a lot. People are invested in where these players are going to get drafted. Where's their new home? Where can I follow them now? And, you know, that is one of the pluses of college sports, especially football, because you get to know these athletes, especially, again, I mean, look at Caitlin Clark. My God, she's on the Indiana Fever now, and everyone knows who Caitlin Clark is, right? She is all over State Farm commercials and other commercials, and by the time she gets to the Indiana Fever, like, we all know who she is. We're all invested in Caitlin Clark. It's the same thing with the NFL draft. And, you know, six of those 12 first picks are quarterbacks who are very high profile. Even your guy, Bo Nix, who was the last quarterback taken in the first round, goes to Denver at 12. He's been on TV a lot. The Ducks have been on TV a lot. You feel like, oh, I want to see how Bo Nix fits into the Broncos offense. What can he and Sean Payton do together? That's another stat I'll throw out. This is crazy. So, you know, we told you, well, I didn't tell you yet, but Bo Nix, his contract is $18.6 million over 4 years. They're paying Russell Wilson $53 million not to play for them. So it's a good thing that Bo Nix is on a quote-unquote inexpensive rookie contract. And that's really the only way the Broncos could have gone if they went out and, you know, said, hey, we're going to sign Kirk Cousins or we're going to sign one of these free agent quarterbacks. Most owners, even if you're worth billions like the Waltons are who own the Broncos, they're not going to say, yeah, I'm going to pay Russell Wilson $53 million to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm going to go out and sign another big-time quarterback and pay them lots of money. No, you're going to pay a rookie on a small contract, comparatively speaking, and that's what you're going to do. So they're putting all their hope and faith in Bo Nix. They traded for Zach Wilson from the Jets. They've got two young quarterbacks now. They're hoping one of them pans out in Sean Payton's system. But when you're paying another player $53 million to go play somewhere else, it doesn't leave you a lot of money left over for your quarterback position, Greg.
Well, that's the parody of the NFL, too. I mean, you never know. I mean, Bo Nix could come in there and kill it. He could be the next franchise quarterback. You just don't know. Right. I mean, and that's what's fun about it is because they can move around these pieces and end up getting lucky, so to speak, with some guy that's like, oh, he's a good quarterback. We don't know how he'll fit in our offense. But and then all of a sudden he catches fire. So that's the fun. Broncos are going to be a must watch for me because I'm a Duck guy. So it's like, OK, I'm going to see how this works. And maybe it ends up working out for Sean Payton. Who knows? It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. Again, I'm excited to watch the Bears. That division, you know, now you've got Caleb Williams, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, J.J. McCarthy. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me because a few years ago, that division, Now I'm really interested to see how do those quarterbacks in that division do. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, you would think he's set up for success. You're throwing to the best wide receiver in the NFL in Justin Jefferson. Caleb now has some weapons. He steps into a ready-made offense for him on day one. It's not like poor Drake May in New England where you're like, well, okay, we drafted a few wide receivers, but there's not a loaded offense for Drake May. He's going to be running for his life most of the time and hoping in future years they acquire some other targets for him. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see because like you said, so many times, especially with six, I mean, the law of averages is that three of those quarterbacks don't work out. They just don't. It could be all of them don't work out. But you know, maybe it's like that. What is it? 1983 NFL draft. You had like Marino and Elway and Jim Kelly, three Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And then there were a few that, you know, didn't turn into Hall of Famers, but they were serviceable quarterbacks. Do we look back on this draft one day and go, wow, those six quarterbacks were real difference makers for their team, and they changed the fortune of their team like Patrick Mahomes did in Kansas City? Or do you go, wow, they spent a lot of draft capital and it was a bust. They still couldn't get the quarterback position figured out. I tweeted out, if you're an NFL GM, you will never get fired for taking Caleb Williams number one. I think he was the consensus. There's no one that's going to look at Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, and go, wow, that was a real reach at number one to try and take Caleb Williams. Everyone would have taken Caleb Williams number one. And then number four, the Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Like, there's no GM that wouldn't have done the same thing in those slots at number one and number four. Everything else, you better hope it works out. I mean, your legacy is on the line. If you hit with this quarterback, now you've got job security for a long time. If not, you know, then you might be looking for a new job. I think what New England did was interesting, because typically under Bill Belichick, they keep trading back. And they would have picked up more draft picks. I like what they did. Stay at three. Take Drake May. Try and get your franchise quarterback. Jacoby Brissett, nice player. He's not your long-term solution. So get Drake May. Take Polk later in the draft from Washington as a wide receiver. Get him some targets. Find him a running back. And let's see what Drake May is. He's 6'4". I mean, he's a big kid. Of all these guys taken, he's the biggest kid. He has the biggest, best physical tools. So let's see. Again, I don't fault. If you're New England and you're sitting at three and Caleb and Jaden have gone in front of you, of course you're going to take Drake May. Some people might argue J.J. McCarthy. I think that's a pick that might get you fired if you take him at three. Yeah. Take him at 10? Okay. You know, the Vikings can insert him there. But it's going to be interesting to see. Again, I think this is one of those drafts, Griggs. Like, let's circle 2024. Mm-hmm. And we come back to this in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years and go, was this one of the most important drafts for teams that led to, you know, playoff appearances, Super Bowls, great players that we've seen in the last 20, 25 years? Again, we're talking about that 83 draft still with Marino, Elway, Jim Kelly, and others. Will we be talking about this draft 2024 in the same way 20, 30, 40 years from now? We'll see.
Well, this is what makes the NFL so watchable, because there's so many storylines. There's so many up in the air. So, you know, how's this going to turn out? What's this going to look like in 5 years? Is this team going to be different? You mentioned New England. I mean, we're so used to decades of them basically being at the top, and here they're at, you know, low. They haven't had a good team and they're trying to rebuild a team. So it's fun to see a team that has always been so good with Tom Brady, and now we're rebuilding a team. So yeah, I think there's just so much to watch in this draft. I agree. It could be one that's becomes an epic draft 10, 15 years down the road. But yeah, lots to watch, lots of stories to follow for sure.
Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, did a few interviews, and here's a few nuggets that I took away. Number one, he tells Mike Greenberg on the draft coverage that he thinks the NFL will be playing 16 games internationally within the next decade. So, Griggs, that's basically an international game a week. If there's 18 weeks of the NFL season, and you're playing 16 games per season internationally, that's a lot. So we've now reached the point where the NFL has come out and said, like, we want to be an international league. The NBA and David Stern were the best at this. You know, I've been to China. I've seen the impact of what David Stern did to globalize the NBA. I've been to the Philippines with Coach Spo. Now, look at what the NFL is trying to do. They want to grow audiences, not just in Europe. They want to be in Brazil. They want to be all over the world. And, you know, what he didn't say is, will we ever have a team in London or Frankfurt or, you know, some other part of the world outside of North America? We'll see. But when you're playing games that often in the next decade, again, 16 games over the course of a season, you're announcing we're globalizing our sport. The other thing he said that I thought was interesting is he was talking about how Amazon and YouTube have been great for the NFL in reaching a younger demo. So once again, like if you go back and listen to my interview with Adam Silver in December, he talks about reaching that younger demo, engaging the younger demo. Even if they're not watching an entire game, they're still reaching the younger demo. So I thought that was interesting that he kind of called out those two platforms as the platforms that are helping the NFL reach a younger demo.
Yeah, I think the international side of things is a no-brainer for the NFL. I mean, we've seen it in the Europe games. They're sold out, these, you know, iconic stadiums. Clearly, the fan group is everywhere for the NFL. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think they're going to continue to grow. And it's just, it's fun to see it in the world. It's fun to see the coverage for a Brazil game. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be really fun to watch. Mexico City. I know the players sometimes don't like the international travel, but man, I mean, why would you not? You're going to get so many more fan base. You're going to grow the household names for these players across the world. I mean, it's fun to watch. So I think international, I'm down with that. I think it's good.
All right. A few more NFL notes unrelated to the NFL draft. Number one, is there any couple on earth that makes more money than Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? Probably not. If you combine their two incomes, I'm going to declare them the winner. Taylor, you know, really carries the heavy load there. But guess what? Travis Kelce, he upped his income. 2 years, $34.25 million deal includes a $17 million fully guaranteed bonus for this year. He's going to be the highest paid tight end ever. So Griggs, Taylor Swift, much more famous than Travis Kelce. But when they go out to dinner, I think Travis Kelce can cover the tab for the evening. I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, he'll be okay. I think that's also a no-brainer signage. Obviously, he is the front and four name of the NFL right now with Taylor in tow. Of course, that doesn't hurt. But yeah, I think he's clearly amazing on the field and a great player and fun to watch. And yeah, it's a great sign and a no-brainer. And I think Patrick Mahomes is excited. I know he tweeted out as soon as the deal was done. So
what's interesting to me, and again, I'm a tea leaves guy, right? Like I like to read the tea leaves and go beneath the surface. So let's look at the Chiefs here for a minute. They've got Mahomes committed to. Now they've got Kelce locked up. Last week, they re-signed Andy Reid, their GM. Their personnel is locked in and they're going for a three-peat. What's not locked in is where in the world Kansas City Chiefs are going to play. This is a real stadium issue they've got in Kansas City. And if you read the anonymous poll, and, you know, I'm not really into anonymous polls, but, you know, they did a poll last year and they rated like facilities, treatment of players. The Chiefs were near the bottom. So it doesn't match up. You've got the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. You've got two of the most famous players on earth and one of the most famous coaches on your team. And your facilities aren't great. Your treatment of players, other than obviously paying them contracts, not great. And most of all, your stadium issue is becoming a real problem. So it's interesting to me that ownership, the Hunt family of the Chiefs, will pour money into the personnel, which is great. They're the ones who make this tick, but they want the stadium to be financed by the citizens of Kansas City. That's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Again, you know, totally different state, but the San Francisco Giants, they had to privately finance. The Golden State Warriors had to privately finance. The Sacramento Kings had to privately finance. The LA Clippers had to privately finance. Now, I know all those teams are in California, but taxpayers in California have basically said, we are not financing your stadium. Guess what, Oakland A's? We're not financing your stadium. See you later. Have fun in Las Vegas. This thing in Kansas City, pay attention to it. Keep your eyes open for what's happening. Another tea leaf. I am a big fan of Ted Cruz, and I don't mean the politician. I mean the senior executive who was with the Kansas City Chiefs and was such a confidant for Patrick Mahomes, for Travis Kelce, for Andy Reid. He took a job last week with the Chicago Bears. Guess who the big winner is there? Caleb Williams. Now you've got one of the best executives in sports in your organization. You can lean on him if you're Caleb Williams or Rome Odunze or any of those young players, much like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce did. Now, the Bears may have said to Ted Cruz, hey, we're going to throw a lot of money at you. We're going to give you a promotion. But I look at it a different way. When I see an executive leaving the back-to-back Super Bowl champions who are going for a three-peat to go somewhere else, what's going on in Kansas City? And was him leaving one of the reasons a week later you see, oh, hey, Patrick Mahomes, we got you, buddy. We just re-signed Travis Kelce. We just re-signed your coach, Andy Reid. We just re-signed Beach, the GM. Like, things are stable here. But the stadium issue and the treatment of players and that report that came out about the Chiefs ranking towards the bottom of the league in those areas, it's at least worth raising an eyebrow. And look, I've worked inside of a pro sports organization, and I've seen, you know, when you've got that alignment, we've talked about it for years on this show, owner, GM, and president of the organization, star player, coach, you've got to have that straight line. And those people have to be on the same page. And when they're on the same page, usually there's going to be good results, maybe even championships. When you don't have that alignment, that's when things start to get out of whack. And it's people like Ted Cruz with the Bears now who help. They're kind of the glue. You know, you're like, well, I've never heard of this guy. Let me tell you, he's a glue guy. He's a behind the scenes guy. He's keeping everything together. So when you see him go from a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls to another team, I mean, it could be as simple as, and I know Ted a little bit, it could be as simple as, you know what, my family and I wanted to move to Chicago. Bigger city, better schools, like, who knows? But it definitely, it's like, this was one of Patrick Mahomes' security blankets. So I thought it was very interesting that a week later, when you're like, wow, I'm really bummed my guy Ted left. You know what, Patrick? We got you. We're re-signing your coach, your GM, your best buddy on the team, Travis Kelce. Like, we're good. We want to keep you happy. So the one thing that isn't getting done, and it's going to take a lot of work, and by the way, the Royals are facing the same problem in Kansas City with their stadium. The stadium issue for the Chiefs. I mean, it's one of the oldest stadiums in the NFL. It doesn't have the modern amenities. The team doesn't want to pay for the modern amenities. So again, lying beneath the surface, when you see all these great signings with the Chiefs, this is kind of bubbling. I would pay attention to it, Griggs.
Well, I think, you know, I love that we call this Sports Business Radio because this is the kind of stuff that is so much involved in sports that a lot of people don't talk about and don't hear about. It's stadiums.
They don't even know about.
Right. It's stadiums, it's GMs, it's ownership. It's all the stuff that the moving pieces that actually make this flow is what we dig into. And I love that's a great point. I mean, I hadn't even thought about the stadium, but you're right. It's an old, it's an old thing. It's falling apart. The fans are going to start to not like that too, which is not good. So yeah, there's so much around this story and others in the league too, where there's a lot of business behind it that we bring to the surface. So I'll be watching this one for sure.
All right. More NFL news. This was interesting. So the CBS Today, I mean, I've watched that thing forever. The NFL studio show. There's a reshuffling. So Matt Ryan, former NFL quarterback, is in, and Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason are out. So now the starting five for the NFL CBS show, my guy James Brown, one of the best studio moderators in sports, Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, J.J. Watt, Matt Ryan. I like it. Obviously, you're coming with a younger perspective with Nate, JJ, and Matt. They played more recently than Phil and Boomer. I like Phil and Boomer. I think they always brought good analysis. I had no problem with them, but I can see why CBS would make this move. And It's going to be interesting to watch. What do you think, Greg?
I like it. I think it's a good mix of former players. You got Brynlinson, receiver. You've got J.J. Watt, defense. You've got, you know, Matt Ryan, quarterback. You're kind of covering all of the departments there. So I like that. And then you got Coach Cower and James Brown. So I think it's a great setup. I think that's going to really mesh well. We've seen J.J. Watt last season some, and Nate does a great job on the Nickelodeon stuff and bringing the kids in. He's great with that. So I think, the younger generation is going to like it more, and I'm in for it. That's going to be fun.
So Travis Kelce wasn't the only Kelce making news this week. Jason Kelce, his brother, his partner on the New Heights podcast, we'll give a little plug to them, not that they need it. Jason Kelce is going to ESPN. He's going to be on Monday Night Countdown. He was wooed by all of the networks after he announced his retirement from the Eagles. What a personality. Super smart guy. I have a feeling, Griggs, when we watch Jason Kelce, it's going to be very much like what I said at the top of this podcast. Oh my God, Nick Saban and Bill Belichick are TV stars. I think we're going to say the same thing about Jason Kelce. We're going to go, wow, that dude's goofy and he's got all these, you know, funny things he does. But when it comes down to it, this dude's a football savant. Like, he knows the game. He's recently retired. He knows the players. He's going to be able to offer a next level insight, much like Tom Brady probably will this year with Fox. But Jason Kelce to ESPN, I do find it interesting. Again, you know, ESPN, when they need to find money for people, hey, you know what? We have no money. We laid a lot of people off. Oh, look what we found under the couch. We're able to pay Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and Jason Kelce. Huh. Interesting. It's like I just reached into my coat pocket and found a few million bucks in there. And I can pay these guys. Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, look, it's a business. I understand. But if I were someone who was part of the ESPN layoffs, I would just be like shaking my head going, come on. Don't tell me you're reducing costs. And then you go out and sign Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and Jason Kelce. Yeah. But those are all, I think that those three names give ESPN a chance to be at the top of the NFL food chain when it comes to broadcasting, because those are three amazing names. Obviously, Saban is going to be more focused on the college game and college game day. You know, again, Lee Corso is getting older. You would think that Nick Saban is going to be the coach that steps into that position, and nothing against Lee Corso, but like Nick Saban's won a lot more than Lee Corso ever did. So it's a serious upgrade to go from Lee Corso to Nick Saban on that show long-term. But ESPN has signed some talent. I mean, you talk about teams signing free agents. ESPN with Saban, Belichick, and Jason Kelce, heck of an offseason for them.
Sure is. And Jason Kelce is going to be great. I think he does need to show up with the overalls and no shirt every Monday night just because it's his look. It's got to be, right? But yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I think he's a great addition. Those three names are awesome. ESPN continues to keep relevant in the football world. And yeah, I'm looking forward to College Game Day. I'm looking forward to Monday Night Countdown, Monday Night Football. I mean, it just gives you something to look forward to with some new blood in there. So yeah.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everyone, Brian Berger here. I love innovation and I love tech. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about what MatSing is doing. You may have a solid wireless network at your venue, but do you have the highest performing antennas in the world to power your network? MatSing is the leader in multi-beam lens antennas. Venues such as AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, Allegiant Stadium, which is home of the Las Vegas Raiders and Super Bowl 58, and Amalie Arena, which is home of the Tampa Bay Lightning, all have MatSing's innovative lens antennas. As a matter of fact, MatSing's antennas are deployed at over 100 venues globally, including 50% of NFL venues, 35% of NBA and NHL venues, several Formula One racetracks, and even at the upcoming 2024 Paris Olympics. Do you want to deliver a fully connected venue experience to your fans? Then MatSing is the key to delivering a best-in-class mobile experience for fans who want to post pictures, watch videos, order food, or place real-time wagers. For more information on how MatSing can help your venue, visit MatSing.com. That's MatSing.com. Or email Tracy Salazar
at TracySalazar at Matsing.com. That's Tracy Salazar at Matsing.com. Matsing is the exclusive antenna partner of Sports Business Radio.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
All right, a few more things before we get to our interview with Charles Olczyk, president of MLS Next Pro. We have talked a lot on this show about the NBA media rights, whether it was with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver or someone like John Orand, who covers sports media for a living. We said on the show last week that it looks like ESPN Disney is going to retain the A package. So the finals will still be on ESPN ABC. The B package looks like it's going to go to Amazon now. So, or at least the streaming package. So, you know, the people that have, the networks that have carried NBA basketball for a very long time, TNT, 40 years they've covered the NBA, and then ABC, ESPN. Now you've got NBC trying to get back in. And Griggs, where we are is it looks like if there's three parts of this NBA media rights package, ABC, ESPN has one, Amazon has another, and now the third part, there's a battle between NBC and TNT. And reports are that NBC is willing to quote-unquote overpay in order to steal the package away from TNT. TNT has the ability to match any other offer that comes in, whether it's NBC or anyone else. Will they? Now, I tweeted this out. I've said this on this show before. I'm all for money. And the NBA wants to be able to say they got the most amount of money for their media rights. But I'm telling you right now, there's not a platform that most people that I know enjoy watching the NBA on more than TNT. The studio show is a hall of fame, literally, studio show. Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, Shaq. If TNT, who, by the way, I think it was a year ago, signed those guys to 10-year contracts, loses the NBA, now what happens? The most attractive place to watch the NBA is TNT. I mean, heck, I like the interaction with those guys in the studio as much as I like the game, and sometimes even more so than the game. If that goes away, that is a big blow to interest in the NBA, in my opinion. Yes, you got more money from NBC. Now, I'm sure there's people out there going, hey, Berger, NBC could just hire those four guys and bring them to NBC. Sure, they could. And maybe they would. But if the NBA loses that studio show, and that's not part of the NBA coverage going forward, everyone's tried to replicate that recipe. How do we find our studio show, our people who replicate NBA on TNT? They've been trying for years, and no one's done it. So unless NBC, if they do secure the rights away from TNT, hired those four guys, as an NBA fan, I'm not happy. Now I've lost one of my favorite parts of watching NBA basketball. So I got to say, I'd love the round ball rock NBA theme from John Tesh back if NBC, you know, regains the rights. And yes, it's great for Adam Silver to go, look, we got $75 billion over the next 10, 12, 13 years. And you can say to your owners, you know, we've increased our rights package and, you know, we've increased distribution and we hit all the boxes on the demos that we want to reach. But again, most people I know who watch the NBA, one of the big reasons they watch it is because they love the NBA on TNT and they love the studio show. Not to mention, I mean, the game announcers are really good. I watched the end of the Lakers Nuggets game last night. Really good. They make it compelling. So, Griggs, I have to say, I don't care who gets the NBA rights between TNT and NBC. I'm impartial on this. What I'm not impartial on is if it's going to cost me watching Ernie and Kenny and Charles and Shaq. Now I'm not down with that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. But this is another, you know, again, we look at things beneath the surface. And most people will just go, hey, how much did the NBA get for their media rights? Wow, $75 billion. That's great. Well, also, you lost the NBA on TNT and that incredible Hall of Fame studio show because now the rights went to NBC. And again, unless NBC hired those four guys and said, hey, we're just going to move you. I mean, look, John Madden moved around a lot, right? So it can happen. Al Michaels moved around a lot. It can happen, but it's something to pay attention to.
My wife and I were watching the games last night. Literally, we're saying the same conversation. We're like, we actually would rather watch the halftime show with Charles and the crew than flip over to the Oklahoma City game that was actually playing. Like, I'd rather watch the halftime show.
Right.
I don't say that with anybody else. Like, there's nothing else I'm going to watch a halftime show on because they're just compelling and they're hilarious and, you know, all the things you mentioned. But, yeah, I think, and what you didn't mention, too, remember, the Max streaming with TNT is great, too, with BR Sports.
Right.
Like, you don't have that with NBC as of now. We don't know. We don't see it. But, you know, it's just like they've got so many different ways to watch it and consume it. And it's just so fun to watch. And I agree with you. The only thing about NBC would be bring back the John Tesh NBA on NBC theme. That's the best thing about NBC hoops right there.
Yeah. Round ball rock.
Round ball rock.
Yeah. I mean, it would be great, but it's going to be interesting. It's coming down, you know, probably between now and our next show. We're going to know who got these rights. Was it NBC or was it TNT? Again, ESPN, ABC, they've got the A package. Amazon has the streaming element, which could include playoff games. And then it's the B package. And, you know, there's reports that NBC is willing to basically pay as much or almost as much for the B package as ESPN, ABC is paying for the A package.
Yeah.
So again, there was some talk a few months ago, wow, you know, is the NBA really going to get the money that they think they are for their rights fees? Yeah, they are. And they're probably going to get even more. And, you know, look, one of the key parts of these media rights is you want networks bidding against each other, right? Like if no one's coming and everyone's going, well, hey, look, Adam, I'm not going to bid against myself. But when NBC and TNT are bidding against each other, it's great. For the NBA. Now you got some competition. Now you're going to drive up the price. It's no different than, you know, I put my house up on the market and I've got multiple offers on the house, right? Now I can go back to the people and go, hey, look, this is what I want. I want the most money or I want to, you know, stay in my house for 60 days and rent back. Like you can dictate the terms. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And like I said, I'd be surprised if by our next show, we don't have a good pulse on this. Obviously, watch our feed at SB Radio on X, but John Orand is really good. Andrew Marchand, I mean, they're going to be the ones that break this, and they've got the good pulse of what's going on with the media. The last thing I'll say, and I said it again last week, now, Griggs, I'm hearing these might not be 10-year deals. These might be 12 or 13-year deals. And again, I'm going to say it. I don't like deals that long. 5 years, option for 10, but I want an opt-out after 5. Imagine what the landscape is going to look like 12 or 13 years from now. I mean, we may be like flying to the moon on a regular basis. This may be the Jetsons. We may have chips implanted in our brain and we just blink and all of a sudden we're watching streaming. Who knows? But I don't want to be tied in for the next 13 years at today's rate when we know there's going to be inflation on the cost of doing business. Now, if I'm the network, great. And I understand from the network, let's say that NBC regains the rights. And they say, you know what? We're going to hire away the four guys from TNT to come be on our network. You want to know you can build brand equity over the next decade, 12 years, 13 years. I get it. You want to make this a big part of your programming going forward. I understand. We've got the NBA. We're the home of the NBA or the NFL or NHL. Like, I understand. But if I'm the league, again, it's no different. I would say, I think I can say this, unless there's like Armageddon, my house in 13 years is going to be more worth more than it is today. Griggs, your house in 13 years is going to be worth more than it is today. So why would I lock in at today's rate if I want to give the network some comfort? Okay, 5 years, maybe even 7 years. 13 years, come on. I'm not going to negotiate today for something that's going to be valued very differently in 13 years. So that's my thought on that. But it's going to be interesting to see how this NBA media rights things works out. I think it's even more fascinating because we had Commissioner Silver on the show. We've had John Orand on the show. Like, again, you know, the common person just watches these games on TV. You don't know the behind the scenes of what's going on. And it's been very interesting to watch.
You know, I'm curious too, because I'm a NBA League Pass subscriber. I love it. I always get it every year. But, you know, does that change? Does that go to Prime? Does that go? I'm curious on that side of it too. And I think Prime is a great asset. I think Amazon does a great job of streaming. Obviously, you can watch it anywhere on any device. So that's a plus. But yeah, what a 13-year deal is insane. I agree. 5 years is probably where I'd sit. I mean, think about like in 4 years when COVID started, how much it changed from 2020 to 2024, just in the world in general. And then you think about 13 years of streaming and what it's going to look like. So yeah, a crazy story. That's a big deal. And I'm going to be excited to see when this breaks here coming up, what they end up doing.
All right. May is lining up to be one of the biggest months that we've ever had in the history of Sports Business Radio as far as guests. And we've had some pretty good names on this show. A few weeks ago, we had my favorite pitcher of all time, Greg Maddux, on this show. Most people, hey, what's Greg Maddux doing now? What made him so special? Like, he's a baseball savant. If you haven't listened to that conversation, it's just amazing. It's great. I know I'm probably jinxing this by saying it because I haven't recorded it yet. But next week on our show, my scheduled guest is Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man, the man who captivated Baltimore, Major League Baseball, and even lunch pail people everywhere with his Iron Man streak. Griggs, a record that will never be broken. I know they always say records are made to be broken. I think this is 2,632 games that he played in consecutively. With load management now and resting players and coming up with all different kinds of reasons to rest players, I don't even know that we would see someone get to like 500 consecutive games. 2,632, it's a record that will never be broken. Cal Ripken is doing a ton in the business world as well. He's got Ripken Baseball, and he's growing the game of baseball around the country. I would say he and his brother, Billy, are as responsible for growing youth baseball in the United States as anyone. I think they've even surpassed like Little League. Ripken Baseball is kind of the hallmark for youth baseball in the United States. He's got a lot of other business things going on, but this is a true icon that is going to join us. If you mention the name Cal Ripken Jr., it's the gold standard. So for us to be able to have Cal Ripken Jr. on our show next week is going to be fantastic. We will follow that up with some other amazing guests. One, even from the world of movies. And, you know, look, Griggs, we've had the cast of Ted Lasso on. You know, we've had documentary directors on. We like to dabble in that. But when I tell you that this movie maker is one of the great movie makers of my lifetime, when you find out who this person is, you'll understand why we're very excited at the prospect of having this person on. So look, we're 20 years old. We can almost drink the show. we're a year away from being able to have a beer. And we've had some amazing guests on over the years. I'm telling you that May is going to stack up with any month that we've ever had in the 20-year history of Sports Business Radio. So if you're not subscribing to Sports Business Radio on Apple or Spotify, you better do so. You're going to learn a lot. These are the most brilliant people on earth. For some reason, they want to talk to me each and every week. I'm not sure why, but You know, I do think we are able to get some good information out of them and good insight. And it's going to be fun for me to talk to these people in the next month. And, you know, like I said, Cal Ripken Jr. starts us off. He's leadoff in May for us next week. I can't think of a better leadoff hitter than the Iron Man.
That's going to be great. Yeah, I think we've had some iconic conversations over the years and they just keep getting better. This is going to be a fun month. I agree. I love dabbling in the Hollywood world. So I'm excited for that one coming up too. But it's just fun. I mean, you get to learn so much on our show every week. I mean, not only do you and me give, you know, all these little things here and there, but it's the guests we get too. I mean, it's a masterclass. You get to really dig in behind the scenes. And, you know, that's the fun world of podcasting too. It's not, you know, time limit and all this stuff. We can talk as long as these guys want to talk, and it's really fun. So I love it.
So again, a quick reminder, subscribe to the Sports Business Radio podcast. Just hit the plus sign if you're on iTunes. We've gotten some nice 5-star reviews or ratings recently. So if you have a few extra minutes, review our podcast on Apple or Spotify. Griggs, I think pretty soon we're going to be able to have transcripts via Apple Podcasts, at least. Maybe the day is coming when you're going to be able to listen to this podcast in multiple languages.
Yeah.
I mean, AI is here to do all of that for us. So you may be able to listen to me in Spanish or French or even Latin. So, you know, we'll see. I wonder what I would sound like in Latin. I took Latin in high school and it hasn't helped me at all. we'll see where that goes. But yeah, all kinds of technologies that will make our podcast consumable in very different ways in the next year or two as well.
Well, like our buddy Nathan Roach says, I got to hear burger in Japanese.
I don't think I want to hear myself in Japanese. All right, coming up next, Charles Altchek. He is the president of MLS Next Pro. This is a growing league, and I love some of the stuff that they're doing. I like when kind of the quote unquote minor leagues try out new things that could be implemented at the major league level. Their playoff format idea where you pick your playoff opponent has made a lot of news. I like it. I think, you know, if you look at what the NBA, there were so many people going, oh, the Lakers should tank so they avoid Denver, you know, and they match up better against Oklahoma City. Like if you got to pick your playoff opponent, it might not always be according to the seeding. You might say, you know what? We have a better matchup with this seed than we do. And then what that does is, ooh, look, they think they can beat us. It energizes the other squad. So I like some of the stuff they're doing with MLS Next Pro. That conversation is coming up next. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
There's nothing common about you, not your talent, your drive, your achievements, or even your challenges. You need distinctive financial strategies that match your lifestyle and career trajectory. Morgan Stanley Global Sports and Entertainment was created to address your specific needs at every stage of your career and deliver the financial education and strategies you need to help advance your game plan. They speak the language, they know your business. Morgan Stanley will work with you to achieve your goals. I've trusted Morgan Stanley with my personal wealth management for almost 20 years. Visit Morgan Stanley at morganstanley.com/GSE. That's morganstanley.com/GSE.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
My guest is Charles Altchek. He is the president of MLS Next Pro. He's held that position since 2021, following 8 years as an executive in various roles with Major League Soccer. Charles, thanks for joining me on Sports Business Radio. How are you?
Great, Brian. Really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you about MLS Next Pro. But before we do that, I always like to start with our guests, your path to how you got to where you are right now. You were a 2-time Ivy League player of the year in college. So you've got some experience on the pitch yourself, right?
Yeah, I usually lead with that when I introduce myself. So I appreciate you stealing my thunder. I had a great experience playing college soccer, a great foundational learning experience on the field, off the field, learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about competing, learned a lot about what was important to me, what's important to me, made some great friends, some lifelong friends, and grew a lot as a person during that time. And I was so proud to represent, you know, my my college and play with teammates from all over the world. And it was just a really special time. And I draw back on that experience a lot in everything that I do. And you know, have fond memories. So I appreciate you bringing it up. But I wouldn't have led with that necessarily. What I would have led with is that, you know, my journey in soccer started at a really young age because my mom is from France, from Paris. She met my dad. They were both in college in New York City, and that's where they met. And so, yeah, I went to a bilingual school as a kid, and we played soccer in the playground during recess. So there was no football. There was no lacrosse, certainly. And when we played basketball, the level was so poor. You know, none of us had any idea what we were doing, because at least back then, you know, basketball wasn't part of the French tradition, but soccer certainly was and certainly is now. And so I fell in love with the sport. I used to go and visit family in the summers and play, and just, it's a different, you know, it's a different culture. And played as a kid, you know, here, never lived abroad, just grew up here. And that passion and that love for the game has stuck with me. And now I've been very fortunate to be able to make a career out of it. It took me a little bit of time to get into the sport directly. I worked in finance for a little bit. I worked for the New York Mets before going to business school. And then when I was in business school, I worked for the New York Red Bulls. They'd actually hired a French executive to be the president of that team, which is how I got connected, because we had mutual contacts and he was looking for someone who knew the New York landscape better than he did. He was from Chicago and originally from France. And then through those experiences, I met the leadership team at the league office, Commissioner Garber and Mark Abbott and others, because I was working on the New York City stadium project. That was my first real project at the Mets. That's why I took that job, because they were considering an MLS team. And then got hired at the league office in 2014. So it's my 10-year anniversary this year, and I've had an unbelievable decade of helping to grow the sport and working with amazing people, and now working on this new league that we've been building over the last few years. And from my perspective, and something that I try to remind myself of and the folks that I work with, is that while the league has been around for over 25 years, MLS, you know, one and Next Pro, we're now in our third season. In so many ways, we're just getting started. And that's what gets me up in the morning really early every day, fired up, because we have a lot of white space and a lot of work to do, and got to get the work done.
So you just mentioned MLS has been around for a while, but MLS Next Pro just started a couple of years ago. How did that come to be? What was the need that you guys saw that said, hey, we need to start MLS Next Pro?
Very simple. We have and have had now since 2007 world-class player development academies for our young players. So young men who are considering whether they can and want to try becoming professional soccer players, join our academies. They're recruited, and all of our teams have a professional development academies like they have in Europe or Central and South America or in other parts of the world. And for a time, those players would play in the academies, and then a select few might become professionals right away, but that was a limited number. Many of them would go to college and then try to come back. But this is the only country in the world where there even is college soccer. And what we've realized is for the best young players, there are different paths, and college soccer may be one path, certainly, and it is, and it will continue to be a place where players find their feet or, you know, reach a different level, or players come in from other parts of the world. But we needed our own finishing school, our own version of AAA baseball or the G League or the AHL, where the best young players had a direct path and a direct link from what they were doing as amateurs and now as their first professional contract, so that they could prove to themselves and to everybody around them at their clubs that they're ready for the highest level, being Major League Soccer. And so how we describe it is we've completed the pro player pathway. So now for every young player who's aspiring to play against Lionel Messi, he knows exactly what he needs to do. Play in MLS Next, and it could be for his hometown academy. So MLS Next is where we have all of our MLS academies playing in it. So Inter Miami, New York Red Bulls, LA Galaxy, they all have their own academy at different age groups competing in MLS Next. And then we have 100 plus additional, what we call elite academies, that are your hometown, the best hometown academies from all over the country, the US and Canada, competing alongside our academies. And players are proving themselves in our competition at our tournaments against other elite academies, against MLS academies, and they're being scouted and recruited. And the best group of those players are now signing their first professional contracts with an MLS Next Pro team. And that's the first time that they're really competing as professionals. Some of them get opportunities while they're still in their academy to compete in MLS Next Pro, but that's on a more limited basis. And so MLS Next Pro is the finishing school, and you're competing against the best young players from the US, Canada, and from around the world. We have over 90 countries represented in MLS Next Pro this season. So it's a global league with, as you can imagine, many different languages being spoken and many different cultures being represented. And it's a very dynamic platform that we've built. And we've had over 90 players already. So we're in the initial innings of season 3, 90 players who have come out of Next Pro and signed first team contracts that started their journeys, their professional journeys in MLS Next Pro. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves over time from a numbers perspective. But what we know is that the program is working. The platform is producing. And now what we're focused on is how to optimize everything that we're doing. The competition, the schedule, the new rules, the innovation. We have a few different pillars for MLS Next Pro. And the way that we describe it as an overarching theme is it's the league of opportunity for players, for coaches, for technical staff, for ticket salespeople, groundskeepers. For that group of folks who want to prove that they're ready for the next level, this is your opportunity. And it's our platform for innovation. And we're trying new rules, new technologies, and we can talk about that. And we have a real commitment to access and representation that is underpinning everything we're doing, because we're creating a lot of jobs in MLS Next Pro. We had 21 teams in our first season, 27 teams in our second season. We have 29 teams this season. We'll have 30 plus teams next season. And this league is going to keep growing 30, 40, 50, potentially 60 teams over time. What we want is an expansive league that has teams all over the country so that we can have coverage in all of these cities around the US that want to have professional soccer teams.
And explain to our listeners, most of these teams are owned by an MLS team, but it's not all of them. There are some just MLS Next Pro teams that exist on their own, right?
Correct. What we have is a base of what we call affiliated teams. So Red Bulls has a team in MLS Next Pro. The Galaxy have a team in MLS Next Pro. The Inter Miami, et cetera, et cetera. And they're competing week in and week out. And what we have in addition to that are what we call independent teams. So these are teams that are independently owned, independently operated. They're not affiliated with any other team, at least not an MLS team. They could be affiliated with an international club if they so choose. And they're competing in our league. And our first two independent teams that are competing now this year that launched this year are really interesting. One is playing in High Point, North Carolina. It's called Carolina Core. Totally new operation, new brand, new people, new training, $10 million plus training facility. They're playing in a multi-purpose stadium where the city has invested millions of dollars to make it better, double-digit million dollars to make it even better for soccer than it was previously. And it's, you know, owned by the leading family in High Point that has been incredibly philanthropic. And the leader of that initiative is a is a woman named Megan Oglesby, and she's been doing a lot of different things with the foundation, and decided that she wanted, as part of that, to bring professional soccer to downtown High Point. And they've done an unbelievable job and hired incredible people, experienced people to run that team. And then our second independent team is in Chattanooga, and that's a really interesting one because that's a team with 15 years of history in amateur soccer and other professional soccer. And so they come in with a fan base that has known and loved this team for years. They did a crowdfunding initiative years ago. They had over 3,000 folks effectively donate money for their love of the club, you know, from all over the world. So they have a global fan base. So those are just two of the new teams, and we'll have more teams coming in the years to come. One in Jacksonville, Florida, one in Bridgeport, Connecticut, one in Cleveland, Ohio, another one that hasn't been announced yet, and then more that we're working to finalize over the next number of months. But the work is not going to stop on that front. We have a lot of work to do and a lot of wood to chop there. But the interest in our league is at an all-time high, and we're really excited to get as much as we can done before the World Cup in 2026.
And explain to our audience the business model here. Does MLS finance and pay the players, the coaches? Do the teams operate with their own payroll and budget? How does that work?
It's the latter, not the former. So each team decides their own roster, their own budget, and has a lot of flexibility to do what they think is right for their team and their market. And so we work with them. You know, we're a professionally sanctioned league by the U.S. Soccer Federation. So we're governed by the federation, just like MLS is, or other leagues in the world as it relates to CONCACAF and FIFA. So we have, you know, multiple governing bodies that we work with on everything that we do. But our teams have a lot of flexibility. And so it's been really, really interesting to see how different teams have built their squads and deployed resources, whether it's on domestic players, whether it's on their players coming out of their academies. Shouldn't call them kids. They're professionals, or players from around the world. And we have many teams who are recruiting, you know, emerging talents from around the world and signing them to their MLS Next Pro teams. And it's exciting to see those players develop in our league, you know, in front of our eyes.
MLS did a landmark deal with Apple, and all the matches are on Apple TV. What I think a lot of people don't realize is you can also catch a lot of the MLS Next Pro matches on Apple TV as well. That's got to be incredible exposure for the league.
Brian, maybe we'll get you on our marketing team after this. You're making my job easy here. I love it. Yeah, it's an exciting time for our league. It's year two of the new relationship, long-term partnership with Apple. It's the most important technology company in the world by a lot of different metrics. And they're our partners. And not only are we partners with them for our MLS games, but we also are partners with them for MLS Next Pro games and our MLS Next games. So we just had a big tournament called the Generation Adidas Cup down in Sarasota at IMG. It's the best youth soccer tournament in the world. We have all of our teams competing in it. We have teams from all over the world, the best young players from all over the world coming and competing in it, whether it's Manchester United or Arsenal or teams from Scandinavia, teams from Central and South America, from Mexico. It's a really exciting tournament that we've built with Adidas, in partnership with Adidas. And those games are on Apple on MLS Season Pass as well. So there's a lot of soccer content that's now in that platform. And, you know, we're working with all of our constituents to push the envelope, try new things, and have MLS Next Pro really be the testing ground for new ideas. As an example, we moved a regular season game between Orlando and Inter Miami, MLS Next Pro game, from Orlando to the GA Cup. And in that game, we tried a few new things, including real-time AI-generated translation in multiple languages. This had never been done before. So you can turn on the game and pick, you know, Spanish or Portuguese, or and there were several other options. So I did a halftime interview or a pregame interview, I can't remember. And someone sent me a clip like 5 seconds later of me speaking in Spanish. And I speak French. I'm fluent in French, but I'm not even conversational in Spanish. You know, it's something that I need to work on. But in that moment I was, and I sent it to my wife and she was laughing at me. It was really cool to see that. And I think, you know, we're all, looking forward to seeing how we can use AI and other technologies to really push the sport forward.
You talk about innovations. One of the things that MLS Next Pro also did that I loved is pick your playoff opponent. I mean, I think this could work in a number of different sports leagues, but explain to our audience how that works and if you ever see it potentially making its way to Major League Soccer.
So I want to give a shout out to Ollie Curtis, who is our SVP of competition and operations for MLS Next Pro. He and I worked together at the league office back in 2014 before he left. I had such a positive impact on him that he left almost immediately back then to go be the sporting director of the New York Red Bulls. And he had great success there. And then he went on to be the GM of Toronto FC. And luckily for me and luckily for us, he was moving home. He's based in the tri-state area. His wife has a big job at CA and they were coming back. And so the timing worked out really well where he was the first person that we hired to help build MLS Next Pro. So he and I have been doing it from the beginning, from before the league launched, you know, as we were building the business plan and the strategy and all this kind of things. And he's been leading all of these on-field innovation initiatives. And we'll talk about some of the other new rules that have just, it's timely because they've just been implemented in MLS these last few weekends and have been, it's been really impressive to see the impact there. But pick your own opponent was something that came out of one of our innovation committee meetings. So Ali put a group together of leading voices from the different teams in MLS Next Pro. And one of the sporting executives, I think from Minnesota, Manny Lagos, mentioned in a meeting, hey, you know, we've talked about pick your own opponent for years in MLS, but it's never gone anywhere. Why don't we talk about it as it relates to MLS Next Pro? And that's how it started. Simple as that. It might even have been an offhand comment at the end of a meeting. You know, is there anybody else that has anything to say? You know, and we're doing these Zoom meetings. We all know what that's like. And some of those meetings can be really dry and others can be really dynamic. And in that moment, that sparked, you know, an idea. And we ran it down and we agreed. It's a great idea. And we were hesitant to do it in the first season, but we made a point before the second season even started to run it down. And there was momentum amongst the teams. There was obviously some who were a little concerned. You know, we had to work through the logistics of impacting travel and booking flights, you know, all the stuff that you have to deal with from an operational perspective. But it had the intended impact, which is twofold. One, to increase the pressure on the folks in the front office, coaching staff, technical staff who have to make that decision. Because it's when you're the best team in the league, it's really easy. They just tell you who you're going to play in the first round. You're off to the races. You're playing the lowest seed and, you know, you don't have to think much about it. And now it's the complete opposite. Now when you're the first seed, you have to decide not just the first seed, but first, second, you know, depending on how many teams are in the playoffs each year. The first number of seeds have to pick their own opponent. And that's, you know, that's a double-edged sword because one, you get the benefit of choosing your opponent. So if, you know, last year as an example in MLS, if let's say Inter Miami ended up squeaking into the playoffs, which they didn't do, you know, they ran out of steam with all the different competitions. They were in Leagues Cup. They won the Leagues Cup. They got to the final of the US Open Cup. They were dealing with a lot of injuries at the end of the season, so they didn't make the playoffs. But let's say they did. They probably would have snuck in as the last seed. Now the first seed gets to choose, do I just make the easy choice, quote unquote? I know the listeners can't see me, but I'm air quoting, which was the lowest seed. Probably not. You're probably not choosing to play against Lionel Messi in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
That's not a choice you would want to make. So now what you're doing is you're choosing a higher seed. And you're making a statement to them, we think we're going to beat you. To me, as a former competitor, a former athlete, nothing would be more motivating than that. And that's what it's all about, is to create more dynamism, more energy. And it did exactly that. So I was hesitant last year. You create content for a living. You know what it's like. We had two options as it related to our selection show. Do we do a live show, a live Zoom in this case, because of Zoom, or do we do a recorded Zoom and then pick the best moments? And we were having these strategy meetings amongst the team, Sarah and our other content folks, Joe Rodriguez and others. And I was really hesitant to do a live show because I was worried it was going to be a dud. I was worried that it was just going to be, hey, we're picking this team and nobody takes any risks and nobody says anything. And it would have been just kind of a, you know, wah, wah, wah moment. And so we did a recorded show. And I wish it had been a live show, because it turns out it was the complete opposite of that. There were surprise picks. There were controversial picks. There was, you know, a lot of these folks know each other really well, have played together, played against each other over the years, are competing all season, obviously, as technical staff, coaching staff. And there were some great one-liners. There was some great back and forth that we ended up getting out, you know, as content. But it would have been fun if it had been live, and it would have been engaging for the fans, which is the second point of all of it, which is that not only is it great for the teams because it puts pressure on the, you know, next generation team leaders to make tough decisions and be accountable to those decisions, but it's also fun for the fans when your team gets picked out of sequence. And that happened several times, and we had upsets on the base of that. So Austin FC 2, as an example, who ended up winning the cup, they got picked out of sequence. They were a higher seed that got picked and shouldn't have played the game that they played. And they went on, they lost a home game as part of that, actually. They were supposed to host and they lost that opportunity because they got picked by a higher seed. They beat that team. They beat the next team on the road and the next team, and then they won on the road. So they ended up winning four games in the road to win MLS Next Pro Cup. It's the first trophy in the club's history. You know, that's a new club in MLS and in MLS Next Pro. And it couldn't have been more exciting for them. And we're really looking forward to season two. And as it relates to, is this one of the concepts that could ascend to MLS? I certainly think so. And for the listeners who aren't as close to our playoff format, we've got a couple playing games in the early stage of our, as the first stage of our MLS playoff format. But then we have now a three-game series, so it's best of three in the next round. And that's where you could have some really fun selections, because those teams have to play each other no less than two times, and in many cases, three times in the span of, you know, 2 weeks effectively. And if you have a team like that Inter Miami dynamic that I was describing earlier that gets chosen instead of Inter Miami, I really like that energy, at least me personally. I really like that energy.
No, I think it's a great idea. It's very clever. I think it's something that could be used in other sports, you know, football, basketball, baseball, things like that. We've got just a few minutes left. You're a great person to ask this question to. You see soccer at various levels and, you know, countries all over the world. I think a lot of people have looked at U.S. soccer, and we've been coming and coming and coming and coming for years. I've been to Europe. I've seen Premier League. You know, I've seen how it's embraced over there. If you look at the next 5 years, we've got World Cup coming here, you know, some really big things coming here. If you look at the next 5 years of U.S. soccer, where are we 5 years from now?
Let's start with, it's the most important. There have been a lot of important moments. Many of them I wasn't involved because I was not working at the league. But this, now I am involved. And for all of us who are, you know, working in the sport, and have dedicated our careers to the sport, these next 5 years, starting, you know, 2 years ago, but certainly for the next number of years, are the most important in the history of the sport in this country for a lot of different reasons. And the onus is on us and to take full advantage of this opportunity. And that's what's happening at the league office, in partnership with our clubs, in partnership with all of our stakeholders, to push this league forward, to push the sport forward, in partnership with the Federation, the U.S. Soccer Federation, to do everything we can to take full advantage of this opportunity and all the energy and enthusiasm and fandom that will be generated from the World Cup and all these big events that are happening. And so what I think you'll see coming out of it is a league that has evolved in really positive ways and in really dynamic ways. And you know, that's what we're committed to doing, and that's what we're going to do.
Wouldn't you think one of the goals too, you know, a lot of the youth today, they're playing football, like college football, NFL, they're playing basketball, they're playing baseball. I would think over the next 5 years, getting more of the elite athletes playing soccer and embracing soccer so that they're taking that MLS Next Pro path to MLS, wouldn't that be one of the goals as well?
Absolutely. And that's happening now in a lot of different ways. So, you know, we just launched as a pilot, but now in earnest this year, our version of NFL Flag. It's called MLS Go, and it's for boys and girls at the youngest ages to fall in love with the game. And that's going to be a program that's growing now, but it's going to be at scale over the next number of years. And you're going to have hundreds of thousands, if not more, kids playing as part of our platform and being introduced to the sport through the MLS ecosystem, and then being scouted and recruited to go to MLS Next Academies. And then there they get scouted to go to MLS Next Pro teams and so on and so forth. And a very intense focus of ours, we talked about access and representation earlier as one of the pillars for MLS Next Pro. And that's one of the pillars for MLS Go, is to provide access for soccer for kids at the youngest ages from all different backgrounds. And that's really important for us, is to have boys and girls who may not have been exposed to the sport for any variety of reasons, have the opportunity to play, have the opportunity to fall in love with the game. And if they're a great athlete, even better. And then they'll keep playing, and maybe they'll become professionals, and maybe they'll be playing for the national team, you know, in the near future. And when you go to the GA Cup, I was there a few weeks ago. There are some incredible athletes. You know, we had U15s and U17s, and you look at the U15s and the U17s. So these kids are, you know, some of them are 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, incredible athletes from all different backgrounds, from all different parts of the world, because this country is such a melting pot. And so their parents, many of them, their parents are coming from other parts of the world where soccer's, you know, been a part of their background. And, you know, our job is to harness all that energy and to create opportunities so that the best athletes can become part of our ecosystem and reach their full potential. And that's why we call MLS Next Pro the League of Opportunity as one example, because that's what this is all about, is creating those opportunities for all these young players to make their mark.
Charles Olchek, the president of MLS Next Pro. Continued success to you, and thanks for joining me on Sports Business Radio.
Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Fans walk into stadiums with one thing, their phone. It's their ticket, their wallet, and how they stay in touch. That's why the best teams connect their venues with Boingo Wireless. Teams like the LA Clippers, Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bears, and San Diego Padres trust Boingo to connect their stadiums and arenas with cutting-edge 5G and Wi-Fi. These teams know that connectivity isn't just another amenity. It's critical infrastructure that drives revenue, makes venues safer, and takes the fan experience to new heights. Take Petco Park as an example. Boingo's private 5G network at Petco Park helped increase the stadium's food and beverage revenue by 10% by making the mobile payment process completely frictionless and increasing the volume of beers sold. With Boingo, Padres fans enjoy cashless concessions and more time enjoying the action. Where will a connected stadium take your team? From mobile ticketing to security cameras to kiosks, connect every piece of stadium technology with Boingo's converged wireless networks. Boingo's neutral host networks feature distributed antenna systems and small cells to deliver fast Wi-Fi service and cellular coverage for AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and more. As you plan for the future of your stadium, make 5G part of your game plan and choose Boingo Wireless as your trusted connectivity partner. Learn more by downloading Boingo's free 5G playbook for stadiums and arenas. Head to boingo.com/5G stadium to get your copy. That's boingo.com/5G stadium.
Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to the Sports Business Radio team, Brian Griggs, Nicole Wardle, and Josh Blank. A reminder to kindly subscribe to our award-winning podcast. Our feed features 20 years of podcasts with the biggest names in sports and business. Go to Apple or Spotify Podcasts and click on the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. That way, every episode of Sports Business Radio will be delivered to your listening device each week. We'd love to have you give us a 5-star rating and write a review of our podcast as well. It'll take you just 2 minutes. I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.
Follow Sports Business Radio on Facebook, X at SB Radio, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and online at sportsbusinessradio.com. SBR is produced by Brian Griggs at GriggsProductions.com.